is a fifth dimension, beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call the Twilight Zone. Her name is the SS Queen of Glasgow. Her registry, British. Gross tonnage, 5,000. Age, indeterminate. At this moment, she's one day out of Liverpool. Her destination, New York. Duly recorded on this ship's log is the sailing time, course to destination, weather conditions, temperature, longitude, and latitude. But what is never recorded in a log is the fear that washes over a deck like fog and ocean spray. Fear like the throbbing strokes of engine pistons, each like a heartbeat, parceling out every hour into breathless minutes of watching, waiting, and dreading. For the year is 1942, and this particular ship has lost its convoy. It travels alone like an aged, blind thing groping through the unfriendly dark, stalked by unseen periscopes of steel killers. Yes, the Queen of Glasgow is a frightened ship, and she carries with her a premonition of death.
Alone on the ship's deck, a stocky man leans on a railing, hunched over, his arms crossed. He walks over to a porthole.
Light in the salon! Let's black out down there!
Inside, the man closes the porthole.
Sir?
Walking out onto the deck.
They'll be finished serving dinner soon, sir. You'd best go in if you want to eat.
Thank you.
They both go inside. The stocky man walks across the dining hall and picks up a doll that a girl has dropped.
Thank you.
The girl and her mother walk away. Another man gets up from the table.
Are you Lancer?
Yes.
I'm Jerry Potter. We looked for you at dinner. Saw your name on the purser's list. We were wondering where you were. Well, the captain wasn't able to join us tonight. Come on over and have dessert.
Thank you, no. I'm not hungry.
How about some coffee, sir?
Thank you. I would like a cup of coffee.
Well, here's your seat right over here, Mr. Lancer. The more the merrier.
We could do with a bit of merriment.
I'll do the honors. This is Major Devereaux.
How do you do?
And his secretary, Miss Stanley.
Are you heading home, Mr. Lancer, or away from home?
Why, I'm heading away from home.
What do you do, Lancer?
Me?
Well, I saw your name on the list. I tried to figure out what you looked like. It's a game I play. I try to connect a face with a name. I thought probably you were an old language professor from Oxford or something.
The lights briefly go out.
There comes the captain.
No. Please, don't get up. I haven't much time. I just wanted to say hello to some of you. I do apologize for not being able to get down to dinner. That we have a miserable fog out there, and I thought it best to take my meal on the bridge.
And the rest of the convoy, Captain, are they in sight?
They would have to be 3 feet off the bow to be in sight, Major. That fog out there is very thick. However, we have some hopes of making contact with them tomorrow.
I'd feel much safer if we were in convoy. I can almost see those wolf packs, isn't that what you call them? Converging on us.
There'd be no wolf packs converging on a single ship, Major Devereaux. The principle of the submarine pack is based on the convoy attack.
The gentleman is quite correct. Our principal danger would lie in a single submarine.
I'll tell you something. I'd rather they go after us with one of those pocket battleships. That you can see. Not a skulking, crummy tin fish a couple of miles underwater.
If you're being followed, you'll see the sub, Mr. Potter. It will surface. They won't use all of their torpedoes on us, not when they can sit at 1,000 yards and shell us with impunity and sink us at will.
Lancer takes a gulp of his coffee, his eyes darting back and forth.
Oh, forgive me, Mr.
This is Mr. Lancer, Captain.
Mr. Lancer, but you sound rather like a U-boat commander.
Forgive me, that was clumsy of me. Hope I didn't get any on you, Miss Stanley.
No, you didn't get any on me, but you did quite a job on yourself.
The waiter approaches.
Oh, that's quite all right.
Oh, it'll stain, sir.
I said it all right.
Standing up, ramrod straight.
Yes, sir. As you say, sir, can I get you some more coffee?
No, thank you. That won't be necessary.
All right, sir. Won't you please sit down, Mr. Lanza?
He lowers himself back into his chair.
Well, I think we can start to get better acquainted now. First of all, I hope you're all as comfortable as possible. The ship was not designed to carry passengers, you know, and I hope you'll bear with any little inconveniences. Mr. Potter, I understand that you're with the American government.
War Production Board.
Uh-huh. And where is home, Mr. Potter?
Chicago, Illinois, the Windy City. I'll tell you, I'll be glad to get see her, too.
And you, Mr. Lancer, where is home for you?
He stares blankly.
Home? I was born in Frankfurt.
Frankfurt? Frankfurt, like in Germany?
Yes, Germany.
How long had you been in England?
How long?
Closing his eyes for a moment.
Not very long. Not long at all. Please forgive me. I'm not feeling very well today.
Standing up.
I think I better go to my cabin.
Oh, it's too bad, Lancer. I was hoping we might get up a poker game. Perhaps later, if you feel better.
Yes, perhaps later. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Lancer.
Good night.
Good night.
On the deck, Lancer leans against the wall as Miss Stanley walks past.
Miss Stanley.
He walks over to her.
Fog carries a chill with it, doesn't it?
Yes, yes, it does. Have we met before?
I don't think so.
You'll forgive me. You looked so familiar. That matter, they all did.
Looking away from her.
Mr. Lancer, are you all right?
Yes, yes, I'm all right. It's just that I have these crazy feelings.
What?
The feeling of doing things, saying things.
The feeling that you've done them before? I know that feeling. I've had it occasionally. Being in a room somewhere and being able to swear that you've been there before. Even the conversation seems identical to another time.
And the people?
Yes. And the people, too.
How odd. I don't seem to recall. I don't seem to recall getting on this ship. Or anything else, for that matter. It's suddenly as if I woke up and found myself standing on deck and hearing your voices coming from the salon.
Like amnesia?
No, not really. I know who I am. I'm Carl Lanza. I am Carl Lanza. I was born in Frankfurt, Germany. I'm in the...
In the what?
In the what?
You were going to tell me. You were in something or other.
Was I? I don't remember.
Mr. Lancer, perhaps if you got some sleep.
No, sleep couldn't help me. I don't think I could get to sleep. I feel as if... as if... I'm in a nightmare. It's so strange. I feel as if there's disaster out there. Doom.
He stares straight ahead.
We are being stalked. I know we're being stalked. There's a sub out there, a U-boat. I know. I know it's there. I know it.
Mr. Lancer?
The first officer comes up to him from behind.
I'm Lancer.
The captain's compliments, sir. He wonders if you'd come with me to the bridge. He'd like to have a few words with you.
Certainly.
Will you follow me, please, sir?
At the bridge. Lancer is let in.
Thank you for coming up, Mr. Lancer. I wonder if you'd mind answering a few questions.
No, not at all.
Well, first of all, would you mind showing me your passport?
My passport?
Yes, if you don't mind.
Just routine, sir. On our passenger manifest, it seems that your passport number was not put down.
I'm afraid I don't have my wallet with me. I must have left it in my cabin.
That's perfectly all right. Sometime in the next few days, if you think of it, you just show it me.
Are you all right, Mr. Lancer? I mean, is there anything, anything that you want to tell us?
There is very little that I can tell you, as I don't remember anything. I don't really know how I got on this ship. I don't recall anything about it. I seem to remember only odd, disjointed things. I know, for example, that my name is Karl Lancer. I know that I was born in Frankfurt.
But go on, Mr. Lancer.
Go on, how? It seems to be all that I know.
Well, at the table, you seem to show a remarkable working knowledge of German submarines. Now, could that perhaps give you a thought?
I'm afraid it couldn't. It doesn't seem to.
You go to bed, Mr. Lancer. Have a good night's rest. We'll talk tomorrow, you and I.
All right.
That's all, Mr. Lancer. Good night.
Good night.
He goes out.
Odd. Very odd. I'd say that he bears watching. And see that a steward is sent down to his cabin. I want to have a look at his passport.
Right away, sir.
In Lancer's cabin, the steward hangs up a jacket in the closet while Lancer looks through his suitcase.
I believe that's it, sir. Anything else I can do to help? Oh, I didn't see this.
Putting a large briefcase into the closet and taking out a military hat.
War souvenir, sir?
Beg pardon?
This, sir, I was wondering if it was a war souvenir.
War souvenir?
Yes, sir. German naval officer's cap. Submarine commander, as a matter of fact, sir.
Don't touch anything that doesn't concern you.
Grabbing the hat.
Terribly sorry, sir. I thought I might hang it up for you.
That won't be necessary. I'll hang it up myself.
Lancer reads the inside label. Karl Lancer. Kapitän Lieutenant. Kriegsmarine. He looks up from the hat. At the bridge, the captain speaks into a horn.
Clark, captain here. We've simply got to have more ribs. Now, if you can give me maximum speed for 12 more hours...
Captain, these engines needed an overhaul 2 months ago. Instead of that, they're getting worked to death.
All right, McLeod, do what you can.
Aye, aye, sir.
What do you think, number one?
Sir?
Pretty cheerful sort of deal we've got going here. Reduce speed and give those engines a break, and we don't stand a chance. Run them at maximum, and they'll seize up within 2 hours. And they're out there.
Looking out the window towards the bow.
God knows they're out there. Waiting. Like vultures.
Lancer sits at the bar. The bartender glances at a clock and then refills Lancer's glass.
Begging your pardon, sir, but it's very late.
Lancer looks down at the floor.
They don't sound right.
Sir?
The engines, they sound labored.
Well, they always sound like that, sir. You get used to it after a bit on this tub. You should hear McLeod on the subject. He's the engineer, you know. He says that these engines were originally designed for Lord Nelson.
It's 5 after 12. 5 past 12. 1:15.
Beg pardon, sir?
1:15. Something is going to happen at 1:15.
Something is going to happen, sir.
I don't know. I really don't know. Except 1:15, it sticks in my mind.
The first officer comes in.
tray to the bridge, please.
Just being made up, sir. Be done in a minute.
I'll wait.
The engines have stopped. Why have the engines stopped?
Standing up.
Oh, it's probably just routine, sir.
Don't give me that they've broken down.
Oh, I don't think it's serious, sir.
You don't think it's serious? Adrift in waters like these without any power, you don't think that's serious? We're defenseless. We're absolutely defenseless.
Well, they'd be repaired, sir. We'd be underway again soon.
No, we won't be underway soon. We will drift until...
Walking towards the wall clock.
1:15.
In the engine room, the machinery grinds to a halt. At the bar, Lancer takes a swig of his drink. At the bridge, the captain continues to look out the window. The wall clock now reads 1:15.
The U-boat's coming. We have to get the engine started. No, we must abandon ship, yes. That's what we must do. We must abandon ship, yes. We must abandon ship.
He looks behind the bar. Opens a door to a storage area. Comes out again. Goes out onto the fog-shrouded deck. He halts as he is illuminated by a bright searchlight.
It's here! That's the U-boat out there!
Backing up to the wall.
The U-boat's here!
He runs down the deck. And along a corridor.
The U-boat's here! We've got to get out of here, everybody! We have got to leave the ship! Everybody! They're going to sink us!
Now, at the end of the corridor...
Don't you hear me?
There appears...
Out of your eyes, out of your minds, all of you!
A group of...
There's a U-boat here! A science is going to sink us!
9 of the ship's passengers.
What do I have to do to you? Do I have to grab you and put you on deck? Do I have to grab you bodily and put you in the lifeboats? Do I have to knock you unconscious, huh?
And now they have disappeared. Lancer sinks against the wall, his mouth still wide open. He looks around, then runs back up the stairs. Along the deck, to the lifesaver that bears the ship's name.
Queen of Glasgow. Ah!
The searchlight shines on the lifesaver.
Miss Stanley!
And on him beside it.
Major Devereaux!
He goes up another flight of stairs.
Captain! Captain! Stewart!
Lancer collapses to the railing. Again, the searchlight illuminates him. He grabs a pair of binoculars and looks out to sea. Seen through the binoculars is Lancer himself, wearing the German captain's hat. On the U-boat, sailors descend ropes to the deck. 2 sailors rotate an artillery gun towards the British ship. The German captain commands them.
Feuer, right!
The shelling hits the ship, several feet away from Lancer. The engineer tries to escape from the engine room. Miss Stanley is trapped inside as the ship catches fire. The U-boat continues firing from large artillery and several smaller guns. Several ship passengers jump overboard. 2 passengers board a lifeboat just as the ropes holding it to the ship are severed. Miss Stanley cannot escape from the fire. The bridge starts to fill with smoke. A beam falls on Jerry Potter, knocking him down to the deck. At the bridge, the captain opens the door, but the outside deck is engulfed in flames. Lancer runs along the deck and leans on the railing. The railing collapses, and he jumps overboard. He surfaces, but then sinks again below. The girl's doll floats in the water, and he reaches toward it. Then, again he disappears below the waves. The ship tips over vertically and sinks. The ship's life preserver floats by. On the U-boat, Captain Lancer goes below deck as the crew spin wheels to cause the submarine to submerge. Lancer's hat rests on a stack of papers.
Boom, 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 boom.
Another crew member enters the office.
A good catch tonight, huh? The Queen of Glasgow, 5,000 tonner, isn't that what the registry said?
Yes, sir.
The crew member holds a cloth hat and twists it in his hands.
Oh, you have nerves, Merla.
No, not really, sir. A little shaky, perhaps.
Why?
Nothing, sir.
Why?
Sir, there were people on that ship. Women, too.
So?
Sir, we gave them no warning.
Oh, you'd have us give them warning, huh? So their radio operator can signal his position, which happens to be, incidentally, our position. You have sentiment, Merlo, but no brains. You're an old woman, you know that.
Tugging at Mueller's arm.
I just found it difficult to...
To do what?
To reconcile the killing of men and women without any warning. It makes me wonder if we are not damned now.
In the eyes of the British Admiralty, we most certainly are.
I mean, sir, in the eyes of God.
Lancer grins broadly.
Oh, you're not only a fool, Lieutenant, but also a religious fool, and perhaps a mystic at that. Suppose we are damned. What will happen then?
Folding his arms.
I've had dreams about it. Perhaps there is a special kind of hell for people like us. Perhaps to be damned is to have a fate like the people on that ship. To suffer as they suffer. And to die as they die.
You are a mystic, Lieutenant.
We'd ride the ghost of that ship every night. Every night, dear Captain. For eternity. They could die only once. Just once. But we could die 100 million times.
Lancer's grin disappears.
We'd ride the ghost of that ship every night.
Lancer's eyes slowly dart back and forth.
Every night for eternity. Dear Captain. The ghost of that ship.
The SS Queen of Glasgow heading for New York, and the time is 1942.
Lancer, again alone on the deck.
For one man, it is always 1942.
He walks to the porthole.
Light in the salon! Let's black out down there!
And this man will ride the ghost of that ship every night for eternity. This is what is meant by paying the fiddler. This is the comeuppance awaiting every man when the ledger of his life is opened and examined. The tally made and then the reward or the penalty paid. And in the case of Karl Lancer, former Capitan Lieutenant, Navy of the Third Reich, this is the penalty. This is the justice meted out. This is judgment night in the Twilight Zone.
Credits. Directed by John Brom. Written and narrated by Rod Serling. Produced by Buck Houghton. Executive producer for Cayuga Productions, Rod Serling. Starring Nehemiah Persoff, with Deirdre Owen, Patrick McNee, Ben Wright, Leslie Bradley, Kendra Cuxham, Hugh Sanders, Richard Peel, Donald Journeau, Barry Bernard, and James Franciscus. Director of Photography, George T. Clemens. Production Manager, Ralph W. Nelson. Art Directors, George W. Davis, William Ferrari. Assistant Director, Edward Denault. Casting, Mildred Goose. Film Editor, Bill Mosher. Set Decorations, Henry Grace, Rudy Butler. Sound, Frank Melton, Gene Valentino. Animated title by UPA. Copyright 1959 by Cayuga Productions, Inc. Filmed at Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios. Audio description by Lou Lasher.